Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Unemployed people who refuse to engage with social welfare unemployment services will see their job seekers benefit cut by €90. Because at the moment, if you don't engage with the department officials or the return to work programmes, you're on two occasions, your payment is cut by €44 per week. If you then re-engage, the full job seeker payment is back reinstated. But now that fine of €44 is going to jump to £90. Breed Smith is People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central. Is it fair, Breed?
I think it's really a very poor show by the government to bring this in, and it's sneakily put into the finance bill with a surplus of €25 billion and almost full employment in the country. It's like something out of a Tory party playbook to target some of the people who they don't. It's not that they refuse to engage. There's a lot of people out there that have difficult and chaotic lives, and by taking this money off them, they're not only hurting them, but they're hurting their children. At a time when we have 1 in 7 children in this country, despite all the money we have, living in poverty, and 1 in 8 families depending on food banks, you're driving kids into poverty. You're persecuting people who, for a whole myriad of reasons, don't make appointments.
Well, do we know the reasons why, Breed? Because that might be the case. I fully accept that for some of the 4,000 people who had their payments cut last year. But it's not now. We don't know that's the case for everybody.
No, indeed, we don't. But I can tell you, as a TD who has to represent people, in many cases, it is due to accidents that happen, like something happened with the kids. They had to be picked up from school, couldn't make the appointment, or there was an issue at home. Somebody needed minding, or they just missed the appointment because public transport let them down. It's often the case that it's not deliberate. I'm not talking to social protection. I don't care. I just take the money and run. It's not always the case, certainly not in the majority of cases, that that's the way. And I just think it's persecuting people and pushing them into poverty.
But isn't that stringent? Like, I'm trying to be fair to department officials and revenue and, you know, all of that in this. Like, my understanding, and you know better maybe, Breed, than me, how this works, you basically have two chances, you know what I mean, before you get the €44 payment as it stands. Is it that stringent? Like, if you ring up and say, look, there's a bit of drama today at the school or something's happened in the house, can't make the appointment, I'm sure they're lenient enough.
Well, certainly, I don't know, and I was trying to find out before I came on this call, if they still engage private companies, but certainly in the past they engaged private companies to implement this system. And the private companies worked on a commission basis. So the more people that they could fine, the more commission they got. They were incentivized to fine people. And yes, they were stringent and they were pretty harsh and immiserating on people. Like, honestly, it's I don't know if people listening saw Daniel Blake, the film about the attempt to take people off disability payment in Britain, and how that system of persecuting people drove them to suicide. They attempted to bring in a system of taking people off disability earlier this year, and the disability movement kicked up and were saying, no, you can't do this to us, persecuting and hounding people off their payments. So I just think that we need to really, and particularly in a country with so much money and full employment, we really need to rethink this. And I will just reiterate, when you penalise an adult, you're likely penalising the children who are entirely innocent as well. And 1 in 7 children living in poverty in one of the richest countries on the planet is a disgraceful reputation.
But should we not try to find out why the 4,000 people who were penalised last year and had this reduction, should we not try to make an effort or carry out some review or something, why they're not engaging?
Yeah, absolutely we should. Yeah, we should indeed, and help them if it's a case of that there's issues to do with childcare or whatever else that they can't make the appointments. But I'm just going on my own experience that the private companies did persecute people in the past, and they gave them no leniency at all, and then taking all this money. So if you take €90 off somebody now who's on 244, let's admit it, it's not a king's ransom. You put them on €154 for the week to do everything with, that's going to hit the kids or hit the dependents, perhaps a missus or somebody else, or go off the rent, put them into more arrears. So I just think it's not the way to go about it. If people have difficulty accessing the job market, and many people do for a whole myriad of reasons,
I appreciate
that. Approach, not fining, not finding them would be my approach. It's rather to intervene with supports and find out, as you said, find out exactly what is
the problem. What's the story? Well, will you stay with us, Breed? Because a couple of callers looking to get in touch about this, and I want to get people's views on it today, because I think it was one of these things that, you know, I don't want to say it sort of quietly signed off, but it seems to only really be coming to light in the past 24 hours. It's 1800 453 106. That's Breed Smith. Chris is with us on the line. Do you think this is fair, Chris?
Actually, I do. The thing is, though, I have great time for Breed, and I would agree with her. It's the state's job to take care of those that are in poverty and can't take care of themselves. But this is a payment for people who are looking to work, who are actually trying to look to work. Now, the people are getting fined for not engaging with the system. Now, Breed just said a few seconds ago that we should interview them and see why they're not engaging. But how can you interview somebody who's not actually engaging with you? You know, this is something that is actually done to actually try and force people to actually engage, because they're not engaging. Now, the way I see it, I mean, 4,000 people, it's, you know, I mean, they might have valid reasons, but if you're not engaging, we don't know what the valid reasons are.
Now, you get two notifications as well, Chris. You know, not cut €44 in, straight away if you don't show up to the first appointment. You basically get two chances, but now that's going to double to £90.
Yeah, but the thing is, you see, I mean, if you cannot work, whether it's disability or whatever, there are other forms of social welfare out there. This is a payment for people who are actively seeking to get back into work. Now, if you're not engaging with the system,
you're on the wrong payment.
You're not actually engaging.
No, he makes a very valid point there. How do you engage with people if they're not engaging with you? But look, I just know there's people out there who live chaotic lives, who are alienated from the system for a whole myriad of reasons, and they probably shouldn't be on job seekers. They probably should be on disability for mental health issues or addiction or, you know, a whole myriad of things. But it's not often easy to get your type of payment changed. It's not often easy to be recognised as having mental health or health issues to be put on disability. Like, the system isn't, you know, that smooth. And my point here is that taking €90 from somebody who's already low payment a week is going to really adversely affect them and others around them.
No, but I suppose the encouragement then, I imagine, that the idea or the motivation behind this is that if your payment of 232 is going to be dropped or reduced by 90, you'll definitely engage with the employment services or give some sort of a rationale as to what happened. You'll make an effort to find out if the payments drop £90.
Look, I'll say I didn't have the time to research it and check it, but in the past, when I was on the Social Protection Committee in the last Oireachtas, we had to look very carefully at the schemes that were being brought in and the companies who were being used by the state to enforce this fine, because they were being incentivised to fine people on the basis that they'd get commission.
Okay.
Now, that's wrong.
Okay.
And I certainly hope that has stopped.
Yeah,
but
okay.
We'll
try to find that out. Tommy is on the line. Tommy, you've been listening to Breathe and Chris, and I believe you got in touch about your own experience. What was that?
Well, my experience was, when I found myself unemployed after many years' work, it's isolating. It's a horrible place to be. You've no money, you've nothing. And the system is like an enemy to you, because they're very quick to contact you when they want to take something off you, and very slow. If you're entitled or you think you should get something, they're very slow to engage. Now, I was sent off to one of these companies about work, about this, about that. I was rushed down to this course that there was no way I was ever going to end up working in that field. I went on a course with 16 people. I think about 8 of us finished it. And it was all just rush, get them off this register, get them off the live register, get them into this, get them into that. And nobody seemed to care about the people, whether they were able to do this or whether it was for them or not for them. Now, I'm a workman, I'm a strong-minded man, but I can tell you, being unemployed in this country is a very depressing thing and a very isolating thing.
So just bring me back. Tommy, thank you for getting in touch, first of all. I'm interested to hear your experience about this. So, like, would you describe, is it a bit of a box-ticking exercise? Get people off the dole in the live register. Get them on a course. Now, live register figures are down.
Yeah. But you don't even have to go on the course. Once you go across to them, even though you're unemployed, not doing anything, you're off the live register. But what I did was I went down and the woman, pretty nice woman, she ticked this box, that box. Oh, there's a course next week starting in healthcare. Mm. So I went off and done the course for the few months, whatever it was. And if you even arrived 5 minutes late, you were getting docked pay. So it's not as if it's pleasant because it's only your dole in the first place. And I went off to do that. And then I went looking for jobs in welfare that could pay a wage to support my family, and they didn't exist.
But I suppose the difference, I suppose, Tommy, in this instance is, like, by all accounts, you very much engaged, you know, with the services.
No choice. Yeah. No choice.
No, but that's the thing. If there's 4,000 people who don't engage, I suppose it's those that are going to be affected by this 90-euro reduction.
Two quite quick points on that. It depends what you call engaging. I went down and was brought through a system of box ticking and sent off on a course. But my main point is, you've no idea when you're unemployed how lonely it is, how much you can be isolated from society, and how depressed you can get in it. I don't think most people, for me, that are unemployed have very little money, very little anything. And it's a horrible place to be. And just coming along and saying, oh, yeah, they should engage, they should do this, they should do that, without looking into why they're not.
Yeah.
And then docking the 90 euro was wrong. That's my point.
Okay, so tell me, Tommy, like the bit, I suppose, that I'm kind of interested in, for those, we'll say, that had their payments reduced last year. So the department described these as people who either don't or refuse or didn't, whatever word you want to use, with social welfare employment services. Like, is there any harm in having a review, contacting, meeting those 4,000 people and saying, well, let's see, you know, maybe you need help in another area, assistance with something else. Why aren't you engaging?
I would agree with that. But just putting a docking of money in, but I would agree with that. You should review and find out why what's happening is happening. And if people are at fault, if they're doing things wrong, well, that's their own problem. But if you have people in terrible situations, well, you need to help them, not just find them.
And as you said, there could be other areas of help or assistance that then you might find out people could benefit from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When you're listening to this today, do you feel like, is it a sort of a headline grabbing story? You know, when you ask people, is it right that there's a reduction in the payment, that maybe we sometimes miss the bigger picture?
I think that when you're working away and you're paying your tax and all the rest, and I would have been the same for years, and you see people on the dole long term and you go, oh yeah, they're not, they should get off their and whatever, and they should do this, that and the other. But my attitude changed when I was on the dole, when I ended up unemployed, when I couldn't get work, and how lonely it was and how hard it is not being able to provide properly for your family and try to keep everything going. Mm. And there's very little in official Ireland when you're in that situation that you can contact. And I nearly lost my house. I nearly lost everything over it all. I nearly lost my marriage over it. And it's not a nice place to be. So it's very easy to dictate from government and say, oh, they have to engage or they have to this or else we're going to find them. Treat people like people, not like statistics. That would be my argument.
Yeah, so
people on the dole are not statistics. They're all got their own story.
Fair point.
And some of them might be wrong. Some of them might be right. Like some people might cheat tax, others won't. But treat them like people. That's my point on it.
How are you doing?
I certainly felt like a statistic. Oh, I'm a great farmer. I'm back working. I'm not a bother now. I'm just saying that they were dark days. And it affects your judgment on what's going on in the world around you. You know what I mean? I'm not having a whinge.
No, I have totally understand. Listen, I appreciate you getting in touch, Tommy, and giving us sharing your experience with us. Is Cormac on the line? Cormac, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Good. What's your view on this about the 90 euro reduction? Have they got Cormac? Is Cormac there?
Himself in the ring.
Apologies, can Cormac. Go on ahead. Yeah, go on ahead.
Sorry, 2 seconds there now. I have to say, I admire Tommy there. I know he was out of work and he got back into work, which is great to see. But there's other people taking the system for a laughing stock, being on a street with you. You know? Can you hear me?
No, I can. Yeah. So you think there's people who just point blank just won't engage?
So when you still have the minister there, or one of the TDs on with you there, Breida. So, Breida, I'm going to say to you here, okay? There, here in Limerick, I know a number of people that aren't working, that have a house and a spang new Audi, and they're on the dole. Now, you tell me how that works out for the working man to be getting into a van at 4:30 in the morning, travelling around, and he's looking going, well, is my taxpayers' money being paid for this? You're on about...
Go on ahead, Breed. Do you want to respond?
Yeah. Yeah, obviously that would embitter anybody. And obviously, if you're on the dole and have an Audi and lovely clothes and all, you're up to no good. Somewhere along the line, you're engaged in some kind of criminality.
You're not buying an Audi in 230 quid a week.
No.
But can I ask you,
that's not the sort of example I'm talking about.
No, but you've been on these, hold a minute, you've been on these committees, okay? You know. Yeah. I'm not just saying Limerick, I'm not just saying, it's everywhere, it's all around us. There's no point to fooling what way this is. But you've been on these committees. So tell me, how do we stop these people who don't work able to take advantage of the system? Like, in fair play to Tommy, you know, and he was very open and honest. Like, he went back, he got himself, you know, back into the system, and he went back out working and everything. But you're saying you're part of these committees. You know this is happening.
Do you want to respond, Breed, to that?
Well, first of all, I'm not on that committee anymore and haven't been for 4 years. I was on it in the last Dáil term. It's a valid question. And I don't have the magical solution to how you stop, people who totally disrespect everybody else, go around swanning off with lovely clothes and cars because they got it through selling drugs or whatever. I don't know how the ultimate solution is to that. But they certainly shouldn't be supported by the state. But how do you knock them off? You certainly don't do it by engaging private companies who are incentivised to knock people off the dole.
Well, I put a listener's text here to you, Breed, about how we might do this. A listener here today has got in touch to say, I think people who are on social welfare payments, and in particular on the dole, it should be reviewed every 15 years.
Yeah, it should. Of course it should be reviewed. But that was my original point. But you don't do it by engaging a private company that's incentivised to find them. And that's what was happening here. And as I said to you, Andrea, I haven't fact-checked this. I don't know if those private companies, I'm not going to name them because I haven't fact-checked it, are still operating. But
We'll try to find that out. Carl is with us. Carl, am I right? As a family member of yours or somebody you know has been affected by this?
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good.
I tell you, what I find from listening to a lot of people and from things from my own family and even my own experience, there's no joining of the dots. I have a family member who was told to do a course up at the Curragh from a small town in the Midlands with no bus service, with no way of getting out to the Curragh. Funny enough, it was from a private company. I didn't don that till I was listening to Breed there. And with absolutely no forward thinking from any department, I kind of agree and disagree. There has to be incentives to make people work. But this other person I'm talking about is on a waiting list for over a year so now for some to do with health. I won't go into the details of it. But this person, technically, if you saw them now, would say they should be working. But if they're waiting on an appointment for a specialist,
they mightn't be able to.
Family will say he will definitely be diagnosed with something.
Okay.
How would it be fair to cut someone like him or her, whoever these people are, because somebody sits in an office and makes a decision when there's zero forward thinking?
Now, just go back, Carl, for a moment there to the first example you gave us of somebody you know that was told, did you say? To do a course down in the Curragh and no public transport. So if they hadn't completed or showed up, they didn't. So would they have, were they, I'm just curious, were they docked? Was their payment docked because they didn't show?
No, so this was a private company. I'm not sure if the company is still around doing it for the government. But I suppose he wasn't docked because after he says, I've no way of getting there.
Yeah, sure, it wasn't feasible. It was madness stuff anyway.
It was ridiculous. And the person asked him, can you get a lift or something? Is there no way you can make yourself out? But there's another bigger problem that I think that a lot of people... and like that other chap, was a Cormac or something that was on, I was in the same boat as well. If I was walking away and thought, these people shouldn't be getting this, that and other until I was unemployed. And all of a sudden, it's a massive big eye-opener to how hard it is. And worse, when you do manage to get what, whether people see it as an entitlement or not, it's very hard to give that up then because you don't know what's around the corner. And that's another big problem. If there's no transport, you take somebody on social welfare today and they're forced to take a job. And say they live in a small town with very little public transport. If you take even to get a bus, €6 to go to work and €6 back, if you're lucky enough that the bus is actually going to run at the time that you're meant to either finish and start work. Like, on your minimum wage, because most jobs, especially I live in Laois, and Laois is one of the poorer counties in Ireland.
That's
£60 a week. It's minimum wage on transport.
It's an awful lot of money, Carl. There's no doubt about that. And thanks for sharing that that family experience with us. Just finally, Breed, has this been passed? There were 90 euro reduction. Is it in now?
No, my understanding it hasn't been passed. Yes, I know Deputy Paul Murphy, my colleague, spoke to it last week, but my understanding it hasn't been actually voted on yet. But it's buried deep inside a whole load of other measures to do with social protection, some of them positive for people because it gives them extra payments coming up to Christmas and stuff. But you don't get to vote, I'll have that, but I won't have that. I'll say yes to that or no to
it's
that.
It's not a pick
That's
and mix.
It's a whole package.
Yeah, you have to
If, for example, I go in on Wednesday night and vote against the social welfare bill because I don't like this particular measure or I passionately disagree with it because I sat on the committee that examined how it works, I'd be then depriving people, technically, I could be depriving people of an extra payment.
And that's not the banner you're going to want over your head either. Breed Smith, People Before Profits TD, Tommy Cormack also as well, Chris and Carl, thanks a million for getting in touch. A lot of people getting in contact. Some of the texts now are just, some of them are outrageous. A lot of people all of the same view as well. Do you know what? We're going to come back to this.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.